Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, before we get started, please bestow your blessings upon this worthless soul that I might be able to say something about the Bhagavad Gita. How can you really fully describe? Even Ananta Sesh with all of his heads can't describe all the glories that come with the Bhagavad Gita, let alone an insignificant jiva like myself. So please, please bless me that I could say something meaningful. Hare Krishna. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 4, right? Always have to make sure, sometimes, you never know. Dasa Varsha Sahasante Purushastu Sanatana Teshama Virabhut Kritcharam Santena Samayanucha. Okay, in Dasha Varsha, 10 years, Sahasra Ante, at the end of 1,000, Purusha, the Supreme Person, to, then, Sanatana, eternal, Tesham, of the Prachittas, Avirabhu appeared. Kritcharam, the severe austerity. Satena, satisfying. Samayam, mitigating. Rucha, by his beauty. Translation. By the end of 10,000 years of severe austerities performed by the Prachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to reward their austerities, appeared before them in his very pleasing form. This appealed to the Prachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerities, purported by his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Yeah. Performing 10,000 years of service of severe austerities does not seem a happy endeavor. Yet the devotees, the serious students of spiritual life, undergo such austerities to attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, when the duration of life was very long, people could not undergo severe austerities for 1,000 years. It is said that Valmiki, the author of the Ramayana, underwent meditational austerities for 60,000 years. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appreciated the austerities undergone by the Prachetas, and he finally appeared before them in a pleasing form. Thus they all became satisfied and forgot the austerities they underwent. In the material world, if one is successful after hard labor, he is very pleased. Similarly, a devotee forgets all his labors and austerities as soon as he contacts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Dhruva Maharaj was only a 5-year-old boy, he underwent severe austerities by eating simply dry foliage, drinking only water and taking no food. In this way, after 6 months, he was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. When he saw the Lord, he forgot all of his austerities, and he said, Svamin Kritarto Asmin, my dear Lord, I am very pleased. Of course, these austerities were performed in Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Treta Yuga, but not in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali Yuga, one can attain the same result simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because the people of this age are fallen, the Lord is kind enough to give them the easiest method. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can attain the same results. However, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, we are so unfortunate that we are not even attracted to chanting the Maha mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Om Agana Tidanam Nishaganandana Sanakiya Takshur Minatamina Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha. Namaste Ragirira Jaya Shri Govardhana Namane Sesha Klesha Naskaya Paramananda Dayane Svapista Sabu Jasi Yukamariya Sukhatu Anu Bhumi Vritte Mahendra Majapya Dhyanana Janam Govardhana Me Dishatama Bistam Jai. So, how easy is it? We just have to chant and dance. And in this way we're making devotional service, even though, as Prabhupada's pointing out here, we're devoid of any taste, you know. One time Radha and Krishna were walking through Krishna Sarova and through the forest area, and there was a flower that saw them and said, "Ooh, the divine couple, you know, divine couple." But a flower. Yeah, my English, you know, Brooklyn accent comes through when I say flower and caw and stuff like that, you know. But I'll try and be a little clearer. But he was walking, they were walking, and the flower saw them, and the flower said, "Oh, my dear divine, my dear lordships are coming, the divine couple, you know. I want to be picked for their pleasure." But the flower is devoid of any fragrance, right? No fragrance, as we know from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's an offense to offer an unfragrant flower to the Lord, right? It says that, you know, it's quite an offense to offer that. So this flower is thinking, "But I'm such a fallen entity that I take birth in this body of a flower that cannot even be offered to the Lord. Better I just commit suicide," right? Like, how does a flower commit suicide, you know? "But better I just commit suicide, and I just throw myself under the lotus feet of the Lord," right? And as the Lord was walking with Srimati Radharani, Radharani noticed this flower and understood what this flower was saying, was feeling in the heart. And she gave a little nod to her sham, and her sham picked up the flower and put the flower in his hair, right? In the same way, we're also devoid of any fragrance, you know, we're devoid of any good qualities. You know, we're just like nutcases running around, you know. The material world is a crazy house, a madhouse, right? But what separates the devotee from the non-devotee is that we're mad for Krishna. We're mad for that little blue boy, you know, that gets into so much trouble, and he steals everything, including our hearts, right? And this is all attained just simply from chanting, right? This is attained just by chanting with honesty, chanting with honest intentions, you know. Not trying to sound like a wonderful bhajan singer, you know. Hare Krishna! Very loud. No, this is, it's not from the heart. And the Lord doesn't accept. If it's not free from Vaishnava aparad, the Lord doesn't even accept. It's stated that if one makes Vaishnava aparads, the Lord does not even accept your chanting. You know, doesn't even accept the holy name. You know, this is how important for us. We don't have to do all these austerities. We don't have to do anything. We simply have to engage ourselves in the Sankirtan movement, the prime benediction for humanity at large. This is the Sankirtan movement. We don't have to do so many things. We just have to try and engage other people in this wonderful process. That's why we go out on book distribution. Prabhupada explains, book distribution is, we go out to simply convince souls to surrender to the Yuga Dharma, which is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? This is what we do on book distribution. This is what Prabhupada says. You know, because out of all the angas, the supreme anga for this age is which? What? Chanting the holy name congregationally. Sankirtan. Our Sanskrit expert, what does sun mean? To please, and kirtan means praising. So, together. Sankirtan is together. It's a group effort where we all come together and we all chant the Lord's name as loud as possible, right? And so let's see, what is Sankirtan? What is this? Well, Prabhupada explains that my books are also recorded kirtans. You know? He said, people here, these books have been chanted. They recorded kirtans. So today on Gita Jayanti, it's such an important day. Notice we have many. We have like 7 pallets of books downstairs that just came in. So if you want a pallet, come and see us. But these books are so important today in this day of Gita Jayanti. Why? Because the first verse, Dharma Setra Kuru Setra, the body is a field. Chetra means field. Correct? he's my Sanskrit expert, so, you know, it's like, I have to use him, you know, I don't have a dictionary. I just have Gopinathacharya. So, which is better than a dictionary, it seems. But, so Chetra means field. On this field, there's nine gates, as we often hear in the Bhagavatam, right? But the object is, on this field, there's a battle going on between material attachments and fighting and guilt and dishonesty and honesty, and it's basically the Bhagavad Gita is our life, right? Where we also take the position of Arjuna, and at one point we say, I'm confused about my duty and I'm a soul and surrendered unto you. I am your disciple. Please instruct me. Right? At one point we come to this. So the Bhagavad Gita is basically, it's our life, taking us from the time we're born until the time we die, and ultimately to the goal, which is Sarvadharma Prajajam, surrender unto me. Complete surrender. Not a little bit of surrender, like, hey Krishna, if you hook me up with a ticket to India, I'll surrender a little bit for an hour or two. No, but complete surrender, where regardless of any condition, any situation, Narayana Paraharsave, that for the devotee, he doesn't fear any conditional life, because for such a devotee, he's only interested in what? Devotional service to the Lord. Right? He's not interested in mukti. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes that mukti takes shelter under bhakti because it's automatically given to the devotee. Gopal Kumar says this. It's described with the dialogues of Gopal Kumar. So, then I recently saw something very funny on Facebook. You know, God, Facebook. I saw it really funny. It was a quote. It said, "How many Hare Krishnas does it take to go on Sankirtan?" Anyone want to take a guess? Huh? No, that wasn't the answer. Anyone else want to take a guess? The answer was, "I don't know, Prabhu. It's not my service." That was the answer the person gave, which I thought it was really comical because that's what our mood is. You know, we can't do that, Prabhu, it's not my service, I can't do that, you know. Hey, you want to come on Harinam today? No, Prabhu, hey, guess, you know, not my service. Hey, Prabhu, can you clean this up? No, Prabhu, that's not my service, don't you? Isn't there another person, especially for brahmacharis? I'm sorry, I was a brahmachari, and that was my famous line, you know. Prabhu, can you come cook? Oh, Prabhu, that's not my service, I'm a book distributor. Oh, no, it's not my service, Prabhu. You know, so this is the mentality we're fighting against, that everything we see is not our service, including the most important thing, which is spreading the Krishna consciousness movement and mission. I mean, there's many ways to get involved. It's not that everyone has to go out, like me and Gopinathacharya had this great discussion today about how you have active, what was the word, active or and contemplative. You know, we have people that stay back and support and people that go out. But everyone has to be engaged in the Sankirtan movement. It's everybody's responsibility in this age. Anyone who calls himself a Vaishnav, it's their responsibility to be engaged somehow in this Sankirtan movement. Right? I mean, nobody can even call themselves really a disciple unless they're engaged, because this is the family business. Going all the way back, you know, our family business is not to be bhajananandis. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said the best bhajananandi is one that preaches. Right? So, all of us, our duty is to be engaged in the Sankirtan movement in some way, whether it's cooking for the devotees, or sponsoring books, or, you know, driving the devotees, or even just giving a pat on the back and saying, great job. Everybody's idea is to support the Sankirtan movement. That is the whole idea of this, you know? You know, often I travel a lot, and often I go to a lot of temples, and the idea is that they say that when, like I was in Mauritius, for instance, and they were discussing with me about the new temple they're going to build. And I said, and I brought up this point, you know, well, we can't even maintain the temple we have, so why build a big one? You know, it makes no sense, like in a manager's way. You can't maintain one, why build something bigger you have to maintain? And the devotee said, well, if you build it, they'll come, right? We don't have to go out, we just stay back and everybody will come to us, right? Right? And I was meditating on this, and then I was distributing books with Jaidvaita Maharaj once. And I was remembered how one time I did many books, I think 130 books I did in one day. And I was with Jaidvaita Maharaj, and he said to me, how many did you do? I said, I did 130, Maharaj, you know, pretty proud. He said, why didn't you do 131? I said, ooh. It's okay, you got me there. You know, meaning that there's still people there, no matter how much we go out, there's still more, there's more and more living entities that still haven't come in touch. You know, we're just focused on what's immediately in front of our faces, but not what's around us in an area. You know, this is our mood. You know, our mood is that, you know, lazy intelligence. Instead of going out, we just stay back, or we make very little effort to go out. We're satisfied with little instead of being, you know, like we often say, shoot for the rhinoceros in America, you know? Look at the big picture. Like often we have these grand illusions that, you know, that everybody will just come in here in flocks and just, you know, and come to the deities, but it's not true. Eventually everyone will, right? But we have to make some effort. It's like if you go on the beach and you look at and you're sitting there and you're looking at how beautiful the sunset is. Who's ever done that? Am I the only one? I was about to say, am I that much in Maya, you know? All right, Krishna. No, but when you go and you look at the sunset, do you notice the beautiful stones or the pebbles that are in front of your feet? No, you're so focused. Most people don't. Sometimes you do and sometimes they don't. Meaning that sometimes we focus so much on the big picture, we forget about how to get to that big picture. We forget that we just can't, you know, you can't just like climb to the sun, you know, to where the sun sets. No, you have to swim. You have to go. There's a path to go on, right? There's a Yuga Dharma. We forget about this. The Yuga Dharma. It baffles my mind. Even myself, I we're all guilty of it. But if we really want to be serious, this is the way to win the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, is to give other people Krishna. You know? This is the way to go out. And so one might say, but Prabhu, I go out and nothing happens. I try and stop people, or I stop people and they just say no, or just no one stops. But so how am I helping the Sankirtan movement? I mean, just off the top of my head, nothing in particular. Just people, you know, people say that to me often when I teach these seminars, that I go out, but nobody stops, or I go out and I can't even do one book, so why even bother going out? Why even bother? You know, I go on Harinam, I've been going Harinam for years, and I've never seen somebody made a devotee from Harinam. So why go out? Well, we go out for self-purification. The purification process, right? You go out to do the austerities. This is the austerity for us. For the devotee in this age, the austerity is chanting 16 rounds, right? That's an austerity for most people. Following four regular principles, you know? That's an austerity for people. And going out and giving people Krishna, that's the biggest austerity. Because that means you have to come out of your bubble. You know? You have to come out of your comfort zone. You know, you have to approach people. You have to let down your false ego. You have to take a humble position. And if people yell at you, you just take it as purification. And it happens. And if people are very sweet, take it as purification, right? I mean, this is the easy process the Lord has given us in this age. And we don't have to stand on our tippy toes like Hirani Kashipu, you know, to advance. We don't have to do like Dhruva Maharaj and sit in the forest and just eat like very little, like Prabhupada says here, dry foliage. We don't have to do that, you know. I mean, yesterday the comment was made during Gopinathacharya Prabhu's class, that Prabhupada says in the Isho Upanishad that one has to do menial service, and that's translated into carrying wood, right? And our books are made from trees. So this is carrying the wood of Srila Prabhupada, doing menial service, right? The tree, this is all made of wood. It's save a tree, you know? We're carrying them. And we're taking this order of Prabhupada, and we're carrying it on our head like it's a sacred jewel, and we're protecting it from all angles, so nobody steals it, because it's ours, right? It's our gift from Prabhupada. And sometimes we take advantage of the gift, and sometimes we don't. I mean, one time Jayananda Prabhu, devotees were saying to Jayananda Prabhu, you get so much mercy from Prabhupada. So much mercy. And so Jayananda asked Prabhupada in class, he said, Srila Prabhupada, why do I get so much mercy? And Prabhupada said, it's not that you get so much mercy. My mercy is available for everyone. You just take advantage of it. We have to take advantage of the mercy that's coming from the Lord. We can't just expect it to drop in our lap, you know? Like, all of a sudden, you know, love of God is just going to, like, manifest automatically, you know? It's just going to, I just wake up in the morning, I have love of God. No, we have to make some effort. It would be nice if that would happen, you know? I mean, Prabhupada said the formula for Krishna Prema is Trinadapisinichina. When somebody asked him this question, you know, what is the formula for Krishna Prema? He said Trinadapisinichina. And what does that mean? Well, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it means seeing that every other living entity is more advanced than you. Seeing as yourself as the ever-well-wisher of every living entity. That's what it really means to that verse. And as the well-wisher of every living entity means you don't hoard it to yourself. You're not a miser. You know, you have what? A kripana and a brahmana. What's a kripana? Miser. And what's a brahman? What's really a brahman? A giver. It's not the panda at Radhakund that's like, do puja, 5 rupee, oh, this is it, Brajbasi seva, you know, Radhakund seva. No, this is not the Brahman. A Brahman means one who gives. Gives what? Gives transcendental knowledge. Right? Gives the essence of transcendental knowledge. It says, Sanatana Goswami says that there are many gurus, many spiritual masters, that give many mantras, right? But the one who gives the essence, who gives the essence of all mantras, the one who gives the essence of spiritual life, he is of such a very rare spiritual master. And Prabhupada has given us that. You know, why so many people talk about all, you know, they give everything and anything. I mean, I did a seminar in North Carolina. It was called, Is That Toothpaste on Your Face? Weird title for a seminar, because it was like T-Lock and I made them do a skit about preaching and book distribution and like how sometimes people say to you, hey, do you have some toothpaste right here? What is that, you know? And so they did a skit about it. And it was quite a nice skit. I was actually going to show it tonight, but I don't think I will be able to. And, because the audio is a little rough. And at one point, this boy is out distributing books, right? And this guy comes up with soap. Indian gentleman. And all these people are following him. And this is all like in the skit for like this Sankirtan seminar. And they're like, Om Swasti, Swasti. You know, chanting all these mantras, you know. And he's like, you know, slapping him on the back like the traditional Indian guru does, you know. You know, and he gives him, you know, some blessing, you know. And he's like, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And he's like, and the boy is like, the boy says, Hare Krishna. And he's like, body bar soap. And he's like, no, Hare Krishna. He's like, body bar soap. He's like, well, what is this? And he's like, this is the essence of knowledge. And he's like, this is the essence to clean yourself. He's like, you just become clean, see? Clean. And you know, the boy's like, no, but there's more to cleaning. There's more than physically clean. You have to be spiritually clean also. And he says, yeah, but look, I have many followers. And this boy's, you know, acting as a bhakta. And he's like, I have many followers also. They're all at the temple. And he's like, do you get paid for this? And he's like, no. He's like, but I get paid. Look at them. I'm your guru. Give me money. And they're like, and all these actors are pulling out money and giving it to this devotee, you know, that's acting. This is what we meet every day. We meet cheaters. Right? People that, you know, that just are looking for a fast buck and they decide spiritual life, because most people are ignorant in spiritual life. Most people you meet on the street today are completely ignorant when it comes to what spiritual life really means. They have no clue. So that's the duty of us, to give them that clue. To give them what spiritual life really means. Like Prabhupada came and he fought through all of the nonsense yogis in New York at that time, you know, fought through all of them, not physically, but stole their disciples. I mean, Amalbhakta Prabhu, you know, he was a Mayavadi sannyasi, and two of his students blooped, It was Bhrigupati Prabhu and Dravida Prabhu, and they became devotees, and then he surrendered to Prabhupada. So, you know, this is what Prabhupada did. He stole people away from cheaters and brought them to the supreme cheater, Krishna, you know. But this cheater, there's nothing to lose. Nahapra kamano sosati. And this cheater makes sure that every endeavor we make, you know, we just benefit from. Right? So today on Gita Jayanti, we have all these Gitas, right? Right? We have more. Trust me, this is not it. I mean, there's pallets and pallets of Gitas downstairs. So today we're just asking people to just take one. Give a donation and take one. And make it to your, on Gita Jayanti, make a promise today to give one Bhagavad Gita to somebody during the holiday season. That's it. Just one Bhagavad Gita. And show Prabhupada how much this book means to you. How much this book means to you as a devotee. I mean, I became a devotee because of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, for years when I was living in a Brahmachari ashram, at one point I was in Vienna, and it was this little tiny room with tons of devotees and tons of books. It just was materially, it's like, it defied every law of material nature. You know, like, how can so, like 20 brahmacharis fit in one room and then all the books? But whenever I would go to that temple, I would sleep between the first canto and the Bhagavad Gita. That was my spot to sleep every time I'd go there, right? And then when I moved out of the temple and I got an apartment, I still slept between the first canto and the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Because this is the ABCs. If we can't even understand, devotees nowadays, we like to quote from the Tattva Sandarbhas and the Bhakti Sandarbhas and all this high literature, and we don't even understand the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Like we always said, like one time me and Vaisheshika Prabhu were walking at his house, and we saw some baseball players playing like Little League, you know, practice, and we heard the coach screaming, It's fun. It's baseball 101, not baseball 102. And Vaish turned to me and he was like, you know what that means? It's about fundamentals. Same thing as our Krishna consciousness. It's about fundamentals. And the fundamentals is the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. This is the fundamentals of our spiritual life. This is the foundation. From this we can build. We can't skip this. We can't skip the Bhagavad Gita at all. We can't say, anyway, it's not so important, you know. If it's elementary, you know, sometimes devotees compare it to, you know, it's grade school, and then you have like up and up and up, graduate loans, such. But why do I have to study this? Because, you know, even because the Chachasloki verses will give you everything you need to defeat any person that comes and argues with you about who Krishna is. Is it valid what we are doing? Is he really what a, you know? So it's such an important piece of our literature that we have to study it repeatedly. So, please, I beg you. Not, I mean, who am I? I'm nobody, you know. Really, I'm nobody. I'm just a little person that's asking all of you as my seniors, every one of you, you know, to please inspire me to go out by engaging yourselves also, so I become inspired, because I can't do it alone. I can't inspire myself. I'm too fallen. But if I see a lot of devotees doing it, then I become inspired, and then I'll want to do it a little bit more. And maybe I'll start getting some taste for giving people Krishna. Because that's ultimately what it is. It's about getting taste. Right? We have to develop taste. And the only way we develop taste is by jumping into yajna. And Prabhupada said, the culmination of all services is the distribution of my books. This is the culmination, he says. And he said another, everything's time, place, and circumstance, of course, but another conversation or a letter, he said, our temples are not meant for sleeping and eating. They're bases to deploy our soldiers against for the war against Maya. So this is a military operation, right? All of you are soldiers in Lord Chaitanya's army, right? Srila Prabhupada is our commander-in-chief, right? We have the infantry, you know, the guys that go out. Well, the Sankirtan devotees are more like the special forces because, you know, they just jump right behind enemy lines and sacrifice themselves. Like I was just reading a story about an army person who just got the Medal of Honor, which is the highest wartime decoration in the United States. And he got the Medal of Honor for saving three people Right? And I was thinking, devotees save people every day and they don't get the Medal of Honor. They're the real heroes. This is real heroism. Right? Like Bhishma, real hero. Devotees are the real heroes of this world. And we can take it over. We can take over the world and make everyone Krishna conscious if we first start by making ourselves Krishna conscious. Like Prabhupada said, before you become Krishna conscious, you have to become conscious. Conscious means that you have to realize what the gift you have, and even though you're not pure, but you can still go and give it to others. So, I think I'll stop here. And, because I'm sure there's so much else going on today. And really ask everyone. I mean, I bought myself a Gita. I mean, my wife bought a Gita also. She just doesn't know it yet. And I think she bought a case of them. She just doesn't know. So if you see her online, don't tell her. But everybody, please, and just take one book. You know? Just think if everybody in this room distributed one book. How many people would come in contact with Krishna? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Rita Chaitanya Prabhu would distribute 30, but 19 people would come in contact with Krishna. Now, let's just say everyone decides, I'm going to distribute one book a week for 4 weeks. How many is that now? Math is not my strong point. Let's have a... Huh? Nearly 80 books. Now what if we say, we'll distribute one book a week, every month, for 1 year. It all adds up. I wouldn't even got that with the calculator. But think about it. If everyone just took a little piece, a lot of people doing a little, we don't need huge book distributors that distribute 1,000 books. We need lots of people distributing one book. We need lots of people engaged. This is what wins war. One person will not win a war. But a collective effort, that's what wins wars. That's what wins. That's what makes it a difference. You know, we see how Prabhupada, he spread the movement all over the world, but how did he do it? Did he himself go to every country and establish Krishna consciousness? Or did he empower people to go out and establish it? Right? He empowered people. He a lot of people doing a little bit each. Prabhupada, I want to go here and open up a temple. Go. Prabhupada, I want to go here and open up a temple. Go. You have my blessings. I want to distribute some books. Go. I mean, I remember hearing this from Tripurari Maharaj, that he told me that at first he had just, you know, he was just doing some magazines, you know, because they were doing the BTGs. And then he was in Los Angeles, he was a householder then. And then he said, one day I just thought, I want to do these big books. I don't know how I'm going to do them, but I want to do them. And then he grabbed a case of big books. In those days, those were Macmillan books. It was 12 per box. And his Sankirtan partner said, what are you, crazy? What are you going to do with all these books? He's like, I don't know. But when one day, I will distribute all these books. And when that day comes, I'm going to be ready. Right? Such determination, right? And then it went. You know, one day, 12 books went out. Then 50, then 100, then 500 Gitas, then 1,000 Gitas, then Radha Damodar took over, and it was tons of books and stealing tons of devotees to distribute books and also stealing the pots from the temple as well. And the Sankirtan movement just took off. A lot of people doing a little bit. That's our motto. Group effort, team effort. And what a beautiful picture, you know? It touches your heart when you think that Krishna takes that kind of position, that he's willing to drive his servant into battle. And Krishna's willing to drive the chariot in our heart into battle every day. He's willing to. We just have to allow him to. Nothing stops us but us. That's it. It's not the weather, as we found out last month when we went out in the pouring rain. The weather didn't stop the devotees from going out at all. You know, now we have to deal with snow, which is fun. I think distributing books in the snow is pretty cool. Because you know, people are usually in a good mood when they see snow, because it reminds them of childhoods. And like I was in Amsterdam the other day, and I was distributing books, and I was throwing snowballs at people, distributing books, you know, to stop them. And I was explaining to them about, hey, don't you remember when you were a kid and you used to throw snowballs at people, and it was fun? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, well, I have these books about stress and how to get rid of it. And people, you know, so it's nice. So there's no such thing as you can't. There's no I can't. There's no impossible. Prabhupada said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And none of us are fools. All of us are Vaishnavas. So, I'll stop here. Any questions at all? Forgive me for any lack of scriptural content in my presentation. Yeah, I'm not such a philosopher, I guess. Any questions at all? Comments? Concerns? Anyone want to get a book? Four. I have four here. We have one here. Okay. Anyone else? Gopinathacharya. One book. Okay. You, one more. Anyone else? Trust me, I have more hidden back there. You know, I'm prepared today, you know. Anyone else? One book. Great. Thank you so much. What it costs? For you, no profit. For you, no profit whatsoever. So after class, come see me and I'll give you these wonderful books. And you can give it to somebody, which I recommend, or you can keep it for yourself and you can remember. I received this beautiful Bhagavad Gita on Gita Jayanti in Radhadesh. So Gopinathacharya Prabhu, when you're a sannyasi, right? You'll have this book and you'll remember this day and you'll tell all your disciples, I remember when I got this book on Gita Jayanti in Radhadesh. No, it's a special thing. I still have my first Bhagavad Gita I received when I was 6 years old or 7 years old. It's all torn up now, but I still have it. You know, it's hidden away in my house. I don't use it much anymore because the pages are coming out. And I think I even drew on it because I was so small, I didn't know what was going on, so I just kind of drew pictures. And anyway, you know, I was a kid, but I still have it. So it's the most important. Okay. Any other questions? Anything else? Huh? More books? Yeah, well, you know, come on. Any more? Okay, that's okay. Kanchanavali, thank you very much, Kanchanavali Mataji. We'll put you down for one case. Harivol. Madhugopal Prabhu, you have a question?
No, I have a comment.
Sure.
I recently also bought some books about a Christian book and mental health. So I was just thinking that, like you said, you can also give it to yourself, which would probably be the most important person. Because, like you said, we need to read it.
Yeah.
I want to ask about Mr. Sun, that, you know, why is enthusiastic about this issue? And as you said, like, well, it's nice, you know, Krishna consciousness, rather than, I just want to share it with other people. And that's what I remember when Brahmananda told the story about Harinam, that we're doing Archi or something, and some kirtan, and suddenly it was so ecstatic that came out of the temple. And then Brahmananda, and Prabhupada saw it, he was totally standing, and he looked, what are they going to do? And then Brahmananda was looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was going like, and Brahmananda asked him, what are we doing now? And then they went, you know, they went into New York. So that's how it started with it. Huh. They were just so ecstatic, they were just boiling over, and they wanted to share it. So that it should kind of be the mood.
Yeah.
So nice in Radhadesh, and by the way, it's so nice. I just want to share with them.
Yeah.
And then it's really not preaching, but nobody likes to preach.
No, it's...
But you just want to, please take this book, right? Put a strong mouth, and tonight we'll learn how to sell Bhagavad Gita, the merit of Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's actually sharing your experience with another person.
Yeah, it's like, I was on, last time we went on Sankirtan here, we had, I think, almost 20 devotees in Maastricht going around distributing in the rain. And I stopped one guy, and he's like, listen, you're like the 18th person that stopped me today about this book, you know? He's like, you're the 18th person already. I've heard all different lines, you know? Like, I probably know the book now, you know? Like, everyone has, all, I don't, like, I mean, And, you know, I was like, well, maybe you just got that kind of face that's very spiritual, and that's why we keep on stopping you. And then he's like, you know, but I will say this, I'll buy a book from you. And I said, oh, cool, why is that? He said, because all 18 of you were smiling, and that's, I hardly see people smiling in Maastricht. You know, so you guys look so happy, I'll take a book. And I was like, okay, you know, you want to take three? He's like, well, no, not really, I'll take one. I was like, okay. But, you know, you always got to try and get a couple out there, you know, a couple more. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so our enthusiasm is what captivates people. It's not really our speaking, you know, because, I mean, we're all a bunch of monkeys. We're like, you know, Lord Ramachandra is using his modern-day monkeys to, like, build the bridge to Lanka, you know. We get tongue-tied, we say things that are wrong, and but our enthusiasm is what catches people. People see that, they see, you know, you guys have something. I don't know what it is, but you guys are always happy. You know, especially on Sankirtan, yes. Yeah, because, I mean, following the instruction, we're so conditioned that we think that the vapu comes the vani comes from the physical association. You know, that the only way we can associate with the guru is by being right next to him. But actually, the real nectar comes from following the instruction, coming the vani. That's when the real association comes. You know, because it's very good to act on your P's and Q's, as we say in the States, when he's sitting right next to you. You know, like I remember the first time I traveled with my spiritual master. You know, he was sitting right next to me, and I was super pukkaparta. I was like chanting, sitting down, trying to be very attentive because he was sitting right next to me. But you know, once he left, I was back to walking around. You know, so it's like that. You know, but the real how much we really love our spiritual master is actually shown by what we do when we're not around him in our physical association. I mean, we should always ask ourselves, you know. There's a saying I try to live my life by. What would Prabhupada say? Like, if ever I have a question about something, I sit there and I think and I go, what would Prabhupada say about this? Right? And you'd be surprised if you say that, a lot of your life would become really easy. Because you think, what would Prabhupada say? And you start meditating on all the different instructions and different purports you've read and different things. And it really clears up your life. And so now, a lot of times I think that, you know, things are so difficult. And even like trying to arrange Sankirtan Saturday, sometimes it seems like it's an endless task of emails and stuff. And it's just like, oh, you know, will it ever like, you know, be totally arranged 100% like on its own? But then I think, and I ask myself, well, what would Prabhupada say? And what comes to mind is Indraduma Swami. When once he got left at the airport with Prabhupada's bags, and he was and he came back, and there was no prasadam from him, and he was lugging the bags up the stairs, you know, making sure he woke up everyone in the temple as he was walking, you know. And then when he got to the top of the stairs, he saw Prabhupada, and Prabhupada smacked him on the back and said, "So much endeavor, but it will be worth it when you go back," you know, something to that extent. So whenever we see there's so many difficulties, we should think, yeah. So many difficulties, but it'll be worth it when Prabhupada takes us back to Krishna, or our spiritual master takes us back. It'll be worth it. What we go through is wonderful, because we know what the end result is. We're going home. We're on the Godhead Express. Choo-choo! We're passing through Marwa. I finally learned how to pronounce that, you know, Marwa. And we're bypassing Barvo, bypassing Brussels. We're going straight back to Godhead. On the ISKCON Express, you know, straight back. So it's nice. Nice meditation. Thank you for that comment. It was very nice. Very nice. Very, very nice. Anyone else have a comment or? a question or wants to buy another case? Look, I'm a Sankirtan devotee. I take any devotees are opportunists because we take any opportunity to give someone a book, no matter what. Yeah, she's like, yeah, he took also, yeah. He's taking, it's our little, makes me all warm and fuzzy inside, you know. It is really, it's quite nice and inspiring to see. A yagya. Is there? I don't know, I'm not involved in that. Well, I mean, there's the Sankirtan, and there's my acting debut in the evening, which you really don't want to miss. And then there's the book, there's the class about how to distribute a Bhagavad Gita on its merits, but that's... Yeah. Yeah. Trust me, I'm going to have a lot of books available. Trust me, I'll probably see you during the day, and I'll say, hey, you know, why don't you get another one, you know? Anyway. Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, you know. Maybe I guess we change it to 7 o'clock because they're going to need that time for the chanting of the Gita.